are listening to the Doug Hagmann Radio Show, weekdays 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And now the man behind the mic, a private investigator with over 30 years under his belt, Doug Hagmann.
Good morning, everyone. It's 6 a.m. on the West Coast of America, 9 a.m. here in the East. Welcome to Hagmann. It's the Doug Hagmann Investigative Hour for today, Tuesday, May 15, 2018. Embassy in Jerusalem. That's right. The embassy is in Jerusalem. Upwards of 60 dead. Gaza toll rises to 60 as fresh. Now, listen to this. Protesters gather. Okay, now these are not protesters. These are assailants, basically. But I just want to point this out. We are watching prophecy being fulfilled. If you don't believe in the Bible, if you're listening to this and you're not a Christian, you don't believe in the Bible, okay, fine. How do you explain this? When you take a look at the Bible, the evidence, the empirical evidence of what we see in the Bible and the historical relevance to today, it's undeniable. But so many things in the news, of course. The embassy topping them off, the biggest one, I think we're watching prophecy in action today. And you've got protests again, you know, about the embassy in Gaza. Not quite what they appear to be. And, of course, the leftist media saying, wait a minute, the Jews, Jerusalem, the Israelis are killing innocent Palestinians. I don't buy that for one second. This is being a setup, this is a setup. The optics are being fed to the people of America and really of the world in such a fashion as to indict Israel and America, basically, and Donald Trump, of course. You've got just a number of other headlines all across the board. You've got this, as much as I hate to even bring this up, Stormy Daniels, you know, of course. You've got an adult actress coming forward saying that she was assaulted on the set of Stormy Daniels and she did nothing. You've got her lawyer, this Avenatti, his own questionable past emerging, of course, and now he's threatening of course, lawsuits over defamation. You know, this is just getting so old. I'm telling you, the threats of lawsuits and lawsuits themselves, defamation lawsuits for bringing information out or for hurt feelings, it's just incredible. What's going on today is incredible. It's just and just numerous headlines all across the transom here. You've got. You know, I'm not going to go through all of these headlines. What I want to do here today, I want to draw the lens back a little bit, and I would like to just kind of take a walk through history, because what are we seeing here? With all of the headlines, it's like trying to drink from a fire hose. You know, you're just not going to. It's not going to go well. Of course, you see Mueller's FBI probe in peril based on the number of things from he's fighting against the hearing over leaks. Russians request grand jury information. It's so bizarre what we're seeing out there is so bizarre. So pull the lens back a little bit. Grab a cup of coffee. And let's have a seat at the table here, and let's go over a few things, if you don't mind. Because how do we make sense of everything that's taking place in America and all across the world today? I've often said that America is a captured operation. In America, up until the time of Donald Trump's election, America was on the verge of collapse. And some argue it still is. The United States is under a coordinated assault of unprecedented ferocity from within. Take a look at what's going on. At every level of government, individuals and groups are making decisions, enacting policies that are causing Americans great harm, and they do so with impunity. Isn't that what we're seeing? Patriotic citizens are seeing organizations who have claimed to be on their side repeatedly betraying them adding aid and comfort to the very forces that are destroying the United States from within. The news media, even on the right, the Mockingbird media, they refuse to report critical issues. And individual journalists who do, they're dealt with in ways that echo the harsh methodologies of a third world country. Think back. Let's just take a walk in our minds through recent history. The IRS targeting political enemies for persecution and prosecution. When queried by congressional committees about correspondence between conspirators, remember IRS Director of Exempt Organizations, remember Lois Lerner? She said that they lost the emails and then she lost some more. Government agencies, of course, use online backup services, such as the one the IRS had via companies like Sonosoft, but the IRS further claimed that their backup service was canceled before they could have helped track down the criminal behavior. This is just one instance. Remember the Lois Lerner debacle, or crimes, I shouldn't say debacle. When asked about resident files on individual computer hard drives, the investigative legislative bodies were told that those hard drives, well, they all crashed. Interestingly, the most shocking aspect of that entire scandal has been the fact that it was bold, open lawlessness by a Democratic administration. And there's been no consequences levied by the Republican Party or the opposition party. Even today, look at the Democrat versus Republican. That's just a myth. Think back to the 2008 presidential election. That wasn't that long ago. It was 10 years ago. Think back. Remember the armed black men from the new Black Panther Party, the racist organization akin to the KKK on the other side, dressed in paramilitary garb, intimidating voters at least one polling location? Charges against them were brought, but then later ignored. Take a look at over the last decade. But, well, staying with new Black Panther Party back in 2008, consider that the entire case was dismissed by the Justice Department. It was, at that time, and still is, this unbelievable act of politically driven lawlessness that went unaddressed by any other government agency. Isn't this what we're seeing today? Has anything changed? Go back to 2011. Americans learned that the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, the DEA, and the Justice Department had been caught giving automatic weapons, hand grenades, rocket launchers to bloodthirsty Mexican drug cartels. Think about that. Remember that? Fast and furious. And of course, the rationale that they used, that they were conducting a sting to track where the fully functioning weapons would end up. But when asked further, they admitted that there was no specific tracking method or technology that was used to track these weapons, including 50 caliber sniper rifles, explosives. Everything was lost. They had no idea where this went. Now, those same weapons under this Fast and Furious soon started showing up as the cause of carnage on both sides of the U.S. and Mexican border. A Romanian AK-47 fully automatic was found after this massive shootout that claimed the life of Mexican beauty queen Maria Susana Flores Gomez, remember that, of Mexico? How is it that the United States government is able to deal in automatic assault weapons in that fashion? Then you had a Chihuahua City lawyer in Mexico, Rodriguez, was found in a shallow grave after being forced to conduct an Al-Qaeda-style confession video. Do you remember any of these issues? This all under Barack Hussein Obama, and Eric Holder. And as a matter of fact, two additional Fast and Furious, Operation Fast and Furious AK-47s, were found after a shootout with another cartel nearby. This all in a compressed period of time. There was another firefight when a federal police helicopter was downed, hurting two of the crew members. And a massive cache of weapons was found. Many of them were Fast and Furious weapons. The name of that cartel, which was a Mexican, translated from Mexican to English. Listen to this: the Knights Templar. It kind of speaks to a higher power behind the drug ring in that instance. You have to ask yourself, why would Mexican drug lords make such an association in the names? No, I can't pronounce the Mexican or the Spanish version, but it translates into Knights Templar. It's just odd, isn't it? And more Fast and Furious weapons were found at the scene of the attempted assassination of a number of other Mexican public officials. So, again, IRS scandal, Fast and Furious, all of these events taking place over the last 10 years. This is a walkthrough over the last 10 years to give you a bigger picture of really the events taking place today. And then, of course, under Fast and Furious, you have the American deaths, at least the ones we know about. You've got Agent Brian Terry, along with Immigration and Customs Enforcement Special Agent Jamie Zapata, both killed by Fast and Furious weapons. Now, why am I bringing this up? Because what we're seeing today, I believe, is part of a larger course of conduct, continuing course of conduct. We can look at the headlines all day long today, but this is a departure from what I normally do, and I want to kind of give some backdrop here, some important, shall we say, graduate level information to the listeners who know about this. This is not going to be for everyone, this show. But it is a wide angle view of where we are at today and why. And consider all of this. The Department of Justice officials knowingly conducted such operations with, and this is important because we're seeing this evolve today, the calls for stronger gun control measures. Department of Justice officials knowingly conducted operations such as Fast and Furious and others with the ulterior motive of exploiting the bloodshed with new, stricter gun control legislation in the United States. It's interesting because when you look back at all of this, you find that former CBS reporter Cheryl Atkinson, she covered the story, and she was immediately harassed, isolated. She was refused admittance to press conferences. Her work and personal computers were hacked. Important information could be wiped clean. Classified documents were planted that could have been used to prosecute her. And Atkinson realized that both CBS and the Obama administration were behind the tactics, and she resigned as a result. You had back at that time, you had the President of Mexico, Calderon, taking to the floor of the U.S. Congress to implore legislators to reenact the Clinton-Feinstein's assault weapon ban. Remember that? And a lot of people saw this as an overtly subversive act, but one that was coordinated by Washington insiders. You see how we're being played? When I say we're a captured operation, do you see how the American public is being played here? And where was the Republican Party at that time? Because we received no assistance from the Republican Party. Darrell Issa, the chairman of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee at that time, told Eric Holder, the current, at that time, Attorney General, that he owned the Fast and Furious scandal, yet he refused to even ask Holder to resign, no less seek criminal prosecution. Eric Holder, by the way, the only attorney general in America ever to be held in contempt of Congress. 4 years later, instead of prosecutions, firings, and resignations, you had supervisors within the ATF getting promoted, just as the IRS official who oversaw the political-oriented prosecution, Stephen Miller, to name one, was promoted to oversee America's new socialized health care, the Affordable Health Care Act. It's hard to believe, but it's true. Now, let's talk about Libya right now for a second. And you might ask, well, how does this even come into play? Well, consider what happened in Libya in the larger scheme of things here. You have to go back to, well, go back to just 2003, when Muammar Gaddafi had gone to extremely great lengths to accommodate President George Bush, saying that he wanted to be a respected member of the Fraternity of Nations, and he turned over all of Libya's weapons of mass destruction. Now, prior to that, when Pan Am Flight 103 was destroyed over Lockerbie, Scotland, that was the passenger airliner that 270 passengers were killed. Gaddafi was the guy that turned over the suspects for prosecution. Such unprecedented cooperation saw then Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice remove Libya from the list of state sponsors of terrorism in 2007. Well, what did Gaddafi and Libya get for their cooperation? Please, I ask that you listen to the end throughout this program, because I will be making connections to all of this. Libya would receive her comeuppance, I suppose, a few years later, after being convicted, by the way, of murdering 270 people. The terrorist behind the Pan Am bombing was released from prison by British authorities in Scotland after being diagnosed with prostate cancer. Do you recall seeing the headlines on that? Does that ring a vague bell? That terrorist, El Megrahi, it was disclosed then that he had $4 million in the Swiss bank account, which suspiciously spoke of having very powerful backing, of course. Citizens were assured that Britain's MI6 was investigating, but nothing was disclosed. It was later disclosed that Britain's most notorious Muslim hate preacher, Abu Hamza, was on the MI5 payroll, the equivalent of the U.S. FBI, MI6 equivalent, we'll say, of the CIA. But you've got Western nations. You can ask yourself, were Western nations actively courting radical Muslims to destabilize their own countries? Now, just, again, follow my line of logic on this. Because, maybe in spite of, Gaddafi's cooperation, Al-Qaeda vowed to overthrow him back in 2007, all right? Now, the guy who made that threat, the terrorist, the Al-Qaeda terrorist who made the threat of overthrowing Gaddafi in 2007, Ayman al-Zawahiri, he was accused by Osama bin Laden's personal bodyguard of taking orders directly from Washington, D.C. There was an interview that was conducted via Lebanon's Asian news agency that claimed that both Al-Qaeda and the Islamic terrorist in Syria were being controlled by the CIA, as well as other Western intelligence agencies. Foreign policy experts believed Gaddafi knew this and then began acting accordingly. First, he pulled out of all Western oil contracts. Then Gaddafi began to divest the U.S. Saudi petrodollar and cut off investments of the International Monetary Fund, the IMF, replacing the indebted fiat currency with the gold Libyan dinar, or dinar. Gaddafi then utilized his nation's wealth to create irrigation. And that irrigation, that whole irrigation concept and process, it's been claimed or been termed as the eighth wonder of the world. And I wonder how many people know this. Gaddafi then utilized his nation's wealth to create further improvements on that system. And then it was just an incredible work of technology. But that was the beginning of the end. Because in February of 2011, Barack Hussein Obama initiated military action in Libya without any formal declaration. That whole process, that conflict went on for 8 months and culminated in a vicious public torture and execution of Gaddafi. You all remember that now, I'm sure. An immediate and key target of NATO bombing runs was Libya's man-made river back to the irrigation system that I was referencing. Now, a handful of representatives gave tacit resistance or some easy resistance. A lawsuit led by Kucinich, Dennis Kucinich of Ohio, Walter Jones of North Carolina, they tried to stop Obama on a clear violation of the War Powers Act. Unbelievably, the judge overseeing that said that they had no standing and threw it out. That judge, of course, Judge Reggie Walton. Now, later, Congressman Ron Paul would join Kucinich in calling for Obama's impeachment, but the effort stalled. All key leaders inside the Republican Party fully supported both Obama and his policies. How does that even happen? Not only did they have no allies in Congress, the Republicans sent out a coalition of familiar names to celebrate what the Obama regime had done. You had Mark Kirk of Illinois, Lindsey Graham, Marco Rubio, John McCain. They ran to get a quick photo op with the Muslims who were pulling Christians from their homes and committing atrocities on them and their families. Then Secretary of State Hillary Diane Rodham Clinton was asked about her reaction to the destabilization of Libya and the execution of Gaddafi. And you remember what she said. We came, we saw, he died, laughingly. Clinton herself had this inexplicable and meteoric rise to power with no political experience when she became a U.S. senator representing the state that she never lived in, New York, after, of course, being first lady. And when you look at, and this is where the importance exists, you have to look at the backgrounds, for example, the backgrounds of the Clintons, the background of Obama. Oh, wait. Whoops. Yeah, that'll work, right? But Clinton in particular, her past is an extremely sordid past. She personally ruined the lives of women who accused Bill Clinton, her husband, of sexual harassment and rape. She would be given access to FBI dossiers on key Republican political enemies. Remember the FBI files? I want to jog your memory with this episode. They were what were they used for? Blackmail? And then, of course, as time progressed, and she is shadowed by who? Huma Abedin. Huma Abedin, almost certainly an agent for the Muslim Brotherhood. And there you've got the Huma Abedin Anthony Weiner marriage, and then of course the laptop. Think about the headlines from a year ago, 2 years ago now, 18 months ago, perhaps, about the Huma Abedin Anthony Weiner laptop, the sharing of classified information and such. But this is Clinton's body person, Huma Abedin. But back to Libya and back to this sociopathic, in my view, response of Hillary Clinton to Gaddafi's takedown. You know, it was of course, it was a play off of Julius Caesar, who wrote to the Senate after defeating Veni, Vidi, Vici. I came, I saw, I conquered. Interesting dynamic there. But the question is, how is it possible that America could be so repeatedly be ruled and governed by one party that openly hates America and another party that subversively enables them behind closed doors? There's nobody who is speaking about this conspiracy. Many nations, by the way, hate America, especially after the move of the embassy to Jerusalem. But many more individuals do. But who has the power and reach to do so much harm with so little resistance in America today? I want to ask that question. Because everything we talk about on this program, isn't that what we're asking? Who are these people? Who has the power, the reach, the ability to do so much harm to our country without any resistance or with so little resistance? You know, back to Libya, you had the Senators Kirk and Lindsey Graham and Rubio, you know, the same usual suspects, McCain. They wrote an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal, which they used to proclaim a promise of a pro-American Libya. What do we see now? But what became of Libya? What role did Libya play in the Syrian situation, the Syrian war, the Syrian persecution? Remember September 11th, 2012? Remember Benghazi? Because after Libya was just laid to waste by the Clinton State Department, acting under the orders of Barack Hussein Obama, a CIA outpost, one of the largest weapons revolving door operation in northern Africa, in Benghazi, Libya, with Christopher Stevens there as the quasi-diplomatic head, but a gun runner, running weapons out of Libya, through Libya, across North Africa, across Libya, up into Syria to destabilize the Assad regime. We talk about this all of the time. What do we see in Syria today? We're preparing for war. Russia is preparing for war. But how many people know the backstory behind this? The run-up to what we're seeing today and the key that Libya played in all of this. And again, who are these people that are allowed to do everything that I just described with impunity, without being, there's a hearing here or there, the Benghazi hearings, which resulted in, the Benghazi hearings, it was during those hearings that we found that Hillary Clinton was using a private email server, and she was emailing Barack Hussein Obama using a private email server from foreign countries, particularly Russia. But that's not talked about. But do you see how all of these especially the recent events, started out with mentioning about the IRS crimes, and of course the weaponization of the IRS, and then the Department of Justice, the weaponization of the Department of Justice and gun running, and using that as a method to enact gun control, which is to say to disarm the American people, and then causing conflicts all throughout the world, including Libya and Syria, creating a refugee crisis, if you will, this mass alien invasion, which is related, coming into the United States. But we're so stuck on Stormy Daniels. We're so stuck on Mueller. We're so stuck on this or that. We're not seeing the bigger picture. So sometimes we need to take this bigger picture and look at it and use recent events, sometimes very, very distant events, sometimes current events, but use them to put things in the proper perspective. And that's what I'm trying to do in this episode right now. But make no mistake, the Libyan operation, the Benghazi attack, September 11th, 2012, that resulted in the deaths of four Americans, of course. That was an entire CIA operation. That was a rogue government operation. And that was for the benefit of Syria. I wrote extensively about this. And, of course, you had then Secretary of State Hillary Clinton talking about her involvement, implicated her involvement by her testimony. You know, what difference does it make? Remember that testimony. What difference at this point does it make? So, and by the way, Benghazi, you know, the men, that very small detail at Benghazi held off this coordinated attack. But and by the way, if you want to talk about Benghazi, you have to understand the motive for that. Ansar al-Sharia, a proxy of Iran, ultimately Russia. What were they looking for? They were attacking the embassy. But what was this all about? Obviously, we were told it was about a video. Of course it wasn't. In fact, I had interviewed the individuals involved in making that video. And by the way, Montegraff, who is a internet persona, goes into the provenance of that video very well. I would suggest listening to his videos or watching his videos with respect to Brennan's role in that and Brennan's role in Obama, all of this. But at any rate, what was that attack? What were the attackers doing there in Benghazi? Were they after the weapons? Were they? No, you know what? They were looking for seven Red Crescent workers, seven Iranians that were being held captive. Have you heard this before? No? Go back and look at the headlines. There were seven Iranian Red Crescent workers that were kidnapped off the streets of Benghazi a few months before the September 11th attacks. The attacks were in part to because they believed that these captives, these Red Crescent members, were being held in this compound. Actually, there are two different buildings, but I digress. But understand what we're dealing with here. If you've not heard that before, then you don't know what this was all about. And the previous attack at that specific compound, a mortar shell. But I digress. But the response by Obama. Where was Obama at the most crucial time during that attack in Benghazi, Libya? And, of course, Hillary Clinton, what was she doing? Why no response? I don't want to get too far down this rabbit hole. I can do a special on Benghazi, but you've got to know, even in my view, the Citizens Commission on Benghazi, don't have it 100% correct, and I certainly don't. I'm not saying I do either, but what I'm saying is that there are so many pieces to this that you've got to understand the criminality behind what is taking place even today. But having been set up by events such as Benghazi, such as Fast and Furious, such as weaponization of the IRS, such as the Justice Department turning the other way with respect to the Black Panthers in the 2008 election. So we're seeing today the consequences and products of that time period. Now I'm going to switch topics here for a second. Again, this is all going to connect up at the end, but let's talk about free trade. Why? Well, who is our president today? Obviously, President Donald Trump. And one of the issues that is close to his heart is negotiating trade deals. In other words, he is for fair trade. One of the most powerful weapons employed against the American middle class is free trade. America has been bereft of the best manufacturing jobs as both Democrats and Republicans, the Uniparty, with conservatives such as Rush Limbaugh trumpeting the way, walking in lockstep to this agenda. In other words, consider like battered wives syndrome. sick with battered wife syndrome. Organized unions consistently get out the vote each year for Democratic candidates who consistently support free trade agreements that obliterate tens of thousands of manufacturing jobs every year. Why? And you've got the same people. You've got the Bushes and the Clintons and Obama and the same people. How can their trade policy be perfectly aligned, for example, if not because it's being managed by a higher power bent on breaking the American middle class? If you notice free trade, whether it's Obama in the past or Clinton or Bush, their policy on trade align. They're consistent. In comes Donald Trump and breaks that mold. Okay, think back to, I think it was probably 2010, 2011. Remember the story of a woman in Oregon who opened up a Halloween costume for her child that she bought from Kmart and found this note in English begging for help from a slave laborer making like $1.60 a month. Remember that? Well, you had free traders, by the way, like Limbaugh and others, and I am not throwing these people under the bus. I'm just saying their stance. They're okay with things like this. The dutiful acceptance of Barack Obama's, the free trade aspect of things, the trade deals, which are now being addressed by Donald Trump. And you see the outcry over this. But it's just consider that for a moment. Now put that aside for a moment. Because closely associated with trade, of course, are borders, our nation's borders. There's another agenda of the self-destruction, even more obvious than free trade, and that's our open borders. When you have a deliberate mismatching of disparate peoples into a community, into a country, this has been a method of control by the power brokers over the masses for thousands, for millennia. Samaritans, by the way, were maligned by ancient Hebrews because after an Israeli civil war, the nation of Assyria later conquered the northern kingdom of Israel. Remember, the southern kingdom was known as Judah. Consider this. At that time, those conquered Jews were mixed intentionally with pagans who were brought in from faraway locations. And their capital, Samaria, became synonymous with their new religion, this mix of Judaism and paganism. Much like Rome mixes Christianity and paganism, but that's that aside. This forced Balkanization is happening today. You've got, look, in Italy, look at Europe today. In Italy, tens of thousands of citizens marching in protest of a massive forced influx of immigrants, mostly illegal, into their nation, bringing terror, disease, destruction, the destruction of their culture and national identity. And that's what people today want to do to America. You've got roving gangs of Muslim men raping and enslaving white teenagers at will in the UK and in France and Germany. No response or little response from law enforcement. Inexplicably, some of the reasons that they use, well, they don't want to be accused of racism. America is one of the only nations in the world who has left our borders wide open. The pandemic, disease, Islamic Jihad, weapons of mass destructions, mega corporations and governments at all levels, they kneel, they bow to Spanish-speaking aliens to ensure that they've got no need to assimilate. You've got illegal drunk drivers slaughtering Americans. You've got shootings, Kate Steinle. But the reason, what's the reason behind this? The reason for this agenda is to destabilize America and destroy our national identity. And right through Obama, it was working. In comes Donald Trump saying, no, we're not going to do this. We're going to put a stop to this. Well, now, how did that go over? It didn't go over well, did it? Not at all. As a matter of fact, yesterday, the Council on American-Islamic Relations issued a press release talking about a film, Islamophobia, Inc., this done by the Al Jazeera investigative team, that said basically that the film blamed, it's 48 minutes long, and it pains me to even talk about this. But this video documentary, citing CARES statistics on the rise of anti-Muslim hate crimes, which is just a bunch of bunk in my view, but blaming all of the problems of the rise of anti-Islamic crimes, ostensibly, on the election of Donald Trump. But more importantly, when you read between the lines on this video, when you look between and listen between the lines, they're blaming flyover country Americans, Americans like you and I listening to this. And if you're listening to this in other countries in the West, they're blaming all of us for fostering this anti-Muslim sentiment. Okay, saying and jumping on board with mentioning, by the way, open borders, the need for open borders and the need for assimilation, as well as talking about the trade aspect of things. It's just oddly synchronistic, I suppose. But again, the reason for this agenda is to destabilize America. Everything I mentioned is destabilization. Look at different states and look at the war today between the federal government's position on illegal alien invasion and sanctuary cities and sanctuary states. The divisiveness, it's all coming to a head today. So when you consider states, for example, like California and New York, now consider their position on illegal alien invasion. Consider the threat of the illegal alien invasion. By the way, I just read this morning before airtime. There was a wedding up in New Hampshire. Somalians traveling from different states, a group of them, including from my hometown, armed, went up and shot up this wedding up in New Hampshire. Somalians, okay? Leo Holman talks about this today. If I think of it, I'll put the link in the program description. You've got this nexus of sanctuary city and state policy, this nexus of gun confiscation, taking guns away from the Americans' middle class, but the infusion of weapons by the government, by the CIA, to these drug cartels, to these people such as the drug cartels in Mexico and even the gangs in the United States. All of this is coming together today. I don't know if this, I hope this is making sense. You've got criminal mayors using sanctuary city policies to deposit illegals on neighboring towns. You've got, and not the least of which, but perhaps maybe a surprising element of this is you've got these Catholic charities and these religious charities and entities who are embracing and facilitating this illegal invasion. They are the same religious they're the same religious bodies who are embracing the perversity of homosexuality. Embracing the perversity of homosexual marriage under the guise of tolerance, the pretext of tolerance. Think back to what Barack Hussein Obama did. And again, it seems like I'm jumping around, but this is all related. Barack Hussein Obama acted unilaterally via executive order to provide illegal aliens with work permits and amnesty, some 5 million. And when Donald Trump seeks to undo this, is met with the most rabid resistance by everyone, including those on the conservative right, and including those in the religious, supposed religious conservative realm. And perhaps most egregious of all, you've got the Pope and the Vatican. Many Americans, look, I've got nothing against Catholics. I grew up a Catholic. My parents were Catholic. I was an altar boy. Latin masses, believe me, I've got nothing against the Catholic, the followers of the Catholic faith. I don't have anything, but when you look at the upper, just like I don't have anything against America, of course, I'm an American, but at the very top, you've got this rot and this agenda. We have to talk about this. We have to have an intellectual discussion about this, and therefore the Vatican. Many Americans are ignorant that the Vatican's promotion of the agenda of open borders and the agenda of illegal, you know, alien invasion. They're against guns, of course. They fall right in line with the agenda of the power elite. And I mentioned the Vatican too. You've got a very interesting dynamic that's taking place between the power brokers in D.C. and the Vatican, especially under this new socialist pope. This cooperative effort to harm America and Americans. Brandon Darby wrote for writing for Breitbart.com. We've had Brandon Darby on our program, the flagship show. Wrote this some time ago. I'm going to read this paragraph here from Brandon Darby. Again, a tremendous researcher appearing on the Hagmann Report flagship show. He wrote this: illegal aliens are being allowed to fly on commercial airliners without valid identification, according to the National Border Patrol Council. The aliens are getting released on their own recognizance, being allowed to board and travel commercial airliners by simply showing their notice to appear forms. Okay? That's the reality. We've exposed this. Josh Tully exposed the Catholic or religious component as well. Remember, we've had Josh Tully on and pointed to his unbelievable interview with a source talking about how this all operates. You know, and as these efforts become more powerful, the legitimization for them obviously becomes far more questionable. Right now, And in the past, Americans have been told that Mexican families are just tossing their children aboard planes, trains, and cars and headed for America with no ideas whose hands they'll fall into. At best, of course, such children are in grave danger of being sold into slavery for sexual abuse. At worst, they aren't children at all. And I could point to numerous reports, of course, of what's happening. You know, the DREAM Act, it's all of this, all of these programs. They're not what they appear to be. And for 8 years under Barack Hussein Obama, his regime created this powerful conduit while we, as Americans, attempt to right our financial house and pull us out of this financial morass that we experienced under Obama. He was using every means, most unconstitutional, meanwhile, to legalize the illegal alien invaders in our country, helped by Catholic organizations who had shocking power as well, with little media scrutiny. And you have large left-leaning Protestant organizations joining in this as well, determined, so determined to inundate America with unassimilated illegal immigrants. They found this powerful wedge to augment their efforts, and that's the refugee status. What did we just see? This caravan recently seeking refugee status, asylum. That's the key word. So where are we at here with all of this? I've just spent nearly 50 minutes talking about the larger issues here. And I could go on, but when you draw the lens back, we've got the powers exploiting our goodwill, using our goodwill as weakness. And of course, Donald Trump coming in and attempting to right the wrongs to bring the law back into the lawlessness. And of course, we see what's happening with the attacks, constant attacks on Donald Trump, from trade to the borders, really everything. And it's obvious. It is obvious why Donald Trump, who has never anticipated to be president, it is obvious now that the entire agenda, the collective, the large picture agenda of the globalists headed by the Clintons and the Bushes and the Obamas, they're all the same party. They're all the same stripes, colors. We're seeing the pushback so great against Donald Trump right now. This is why. And the answers don't necessarily have to be found in the current headlines, but the answers exist in headlines of years past. It's bigger than you think, and I would urge everyone to think bigger. And I kind of want to wrap this up by this. It's my contention, it's my assertion, that we saw, subsequent to the events of 9/11, which, of course, did not happen the way that the media and the government portrayed it to be. Of course, we know that. Ask me how it happened. Look, I don't know, but I can tell you this. The stories, it didn't happen the way they said it happened. But the subsequent to 9/11, 2001, the attacks on America, everything changed. The globalist agenda was ramped up under the ostensible auspices of security. Let's make our country more secure. Of course, the Department of Homeland Security was created. The TSA was created. And of course, we traded our liberties for the false sense of security. And that gave way, of course. If you believe the 19 Muslim hijackers downed the towers and created the havoc on, created the death and destruction on 9/11, 2001, then how do you explain, and I'm asking you this, how do you explain just a mere 7 years after that fateful, horrific day where you had this Muslim attack on America, Islamic attack on America, how do you explain this Marxist Muslim insertion into the White House known as Barack Hussein Obama? How do you explain that? Because I guarantee you, and I've often said this, as I was taken behind the crime scene tape back shortly after 9/11, in New York City by a detective friend who was working the scene, and where I saw the blood on the sidewalks from the people who jumped from to their deaths and on the pavement or on the remaining pieces of concrete, and you saw the devastation. If I would have said to him at that point that in 7 years, 8 years, we would have a Marxist Muslim president by the name of Barack Hussein Obama, because remember, no one really knew who that guy was back in 2001, I'm sure he would have punched me right in the mouth. Deservedly so. Yet in 7 short years, that happened. Benghazi, the guy in charge, was Barack Hussein Obama. The Arab Spring, the man in charge in America, Barack Hussein Obama. About Obama, the background, he's got a background obscured in mystery. He is openly hostile, even today, post-presidency, to America, to everything that made America great. and has steered this country during his tenure into almost unavoidable destruction. And don't forget, while on the campaign trail, Columbia, Missouri, October 30th, 2008, Obama proclaimed, "We are just 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States." But see, he wasn't going to start from scratch, and he didn't start from scratch. He was building on the work of previous administrations across both of America's political parties. What he did do was he took that agenda and put it into overdrive. It's interesting. Barack Hussein Obama, Barry Satoro, we showed the American public, we showed the world. Actually, we didn't. We just gave the platform to Sheriff Joe Arpaio, to Mike Zullo, to Carl Gallups. They showed the world that Obama, his bona fides don't match. We don't know who Barack Hussein Obama is. But what we do know is that he was responsible for one of the greatest, and I'm not using that in a positive sense, one of the most influential tactics of taking America down the road of socialism, Marxist socialism. And of course, that was to be followed up by Hillary Clinton. We know that. And you may think, well, all of this is just a rehashing of stuff I've already known. But I ask you this. I ask you to look at today. Donald Trump is running the gauntlet against the people who are attempting to take him down today. Behind those people include Obama. Behind this gauntlet include the Clintons and the Bushes. Think bigger. I ask that you think bigger. And, oh, as far as social networking, the censoring and such that we're seeing, you've heard, of course, effective May 24th, you're not going to be able to get InfoWars on Facebook. If you haven't heard about that, you can visit InfoWars.com. Regardless of what you think about any particular person or company or outlet, this is not right. But it's happening right now, despite Donald Trump being in office. This is the deep state at work. Because as more is being exposed against the globalists, they are in this panic. They've got to do something. They've got to shut us up. And that's what's taking place. To put everything in context, what we're seeing today, when you look at the series of events I outlined, just that handful of events that I outlined that maybe you perhaps forgot or put in the back of your mind, do you see how the plan for America's destruction, America's takedown, was in progress? And the events that took place, and by that you can see the players, the operatives, the individuals responsible for this takedown, and responsible for where we are at today. And now today, you can see the deep state globalist shadow government, their agenda falling apart because of the presence of Donald Trump and the people around him, perhaps even more importantly than Donald Trump himself, but the people around him who are fighting this deep state initiative. I would urge everyone again to think bigger, to look, to question everything, to back the people who are attempting to grab us from the abyss or from the precipice of this abyss. Thank you so much for listening. By the way, feedback, so much wanted, so much please. Doug@HagmanReport.com. I read everything. I get, can't respond to everything, but Doug@HagmanReport.com. Looking into the abyss, looking into the reasons, the bigger picture, America being a captured operation. Hey, if you like what you heard, please pass this along, post this social networking, wherever it might be. God bless each and every one of you.
The Doug Hagmann Radio Show is brought to you by The Hagmann Report. Tune in to the Hagman Report weekdays, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. For more information, go to HagmanReport.com. That's HagmanReport.com.